following is from Eagle Heights in Stillwater, Oklahoma. For more information on Eagle Heights, visit eagleheights.com.
And we're glad that you're here today. Hope everyone's doing all right. Hope you got some sleep after the excitement of last night. I want to ask a question, and then I'm going to introduce our speaker this morning as people are kind of going where they're going. I want to start with a thought. In Acts chapter 13, Saul and Barnabas are part of the church of Antioch. And it says in that text, you can read it, it's Acts 13, about 1 through 5. They're gathered together and they're praying and they're fasting. And the Lord spoke to them and said, set apart for me Saul, who becomes Paul, and Barnabas, and they're to go on mission for me into the world, into places the church did not exist, perhaps, where there was no Christianity. And it's at a time in the church where the church is stretching and growing, and there's a lot of growth in the church. But this is what happens. There's a church in Antioch, and they're praying earnestly, and they're fasting, and God speaks to them, and through the power of the Spirit sends Saul and Barnabas into the unknown for the sake of Jesus Christ, for the sake of the nations, to the ends of the earth. The word ends of the earth is used often in the book of Acts. And that's good and right and healthy. What's going on here at Eagle Heights? What good is God doing in this church? Well, he's doing something similar in our church that he did in the church of Antioch of Syria, and that he's sending people out into the world, to the nations, to make disciples of all the nations. As a matter of fact, we have a young lady, and there are more, but I'll just mention one. If you go out the doors here to your left under the missions sign where you see where we've sent people, there's a young lady and she has a card. We need to pray for her. You need to take one of her cards and pray for her. She's on a two-year mission. She's from our church. She's been a part of our body. But what's coming up is we're getting ready to send out a couple. We're getting ready to send out Jason and Rachel Denny to Germany, to Berlin, Germany. And so today we're going to hear from them, and you get to see firsthand what God is doing in our faith family as a part of the universal church. But I hope that God stirs, again, I'm using this word stirs a lot. He stirs up within you thankfulness that this is biblical. This is right. If you're looking for things, is God doing anything in this body? Yes, he is. He's sending the Denny's, and we get to be a part as a body of that sending. So here's what's going to happen this morning, and then we're going to watch a video, and then Jason's going to come. Jason Denny, who used to be our youth minister, he was youth minister for about 5 years, he's going to come, and he's going to preach 18. He's going to preach for a few minutes, and then he's going to tell a little bit of his story about how he didn't really want to be a missionary, but God spoke to him and has convinced him that he's going to go to the nations, to Germany, and then Rachel's going to come up and do the same thing. And during the course of their talking, here's what you can do. This is how you can participate this morning. You've already participated in singing. Hopefully you've been praying. Hopefully you've been encouraging. That's participation. But you can text. Now, this is the one time that it's okay to text during the service. You can text the number that will be behind me. I think, is it back there? It's not back there. It will be in a second. You can text a question about what they're doing. Any question that you have on your mind that's a reasonable question, you can text that. You can tweet us also, at Eagle Heights. You can tweet a question to us, and we will, at the end of their time, their 18 minutes, they will answer those questions and speak to you about the things that you may wonder as we, a sending body, a going and sending body, are sending them into the world. So make sure that you participate in that, and we're going to watch a video a little bit about their story and then be thinking of questions that you can ask them as they end their time.
I'm Jason.
And I'm Rachel.
And we're the Denny's, and we live in Stillwater, Oklahoma. Well, all throughout college, the area of ministry that I had been working in was student ministry. I loved it. I loved everything about it. But when I got engaged to Rachel, God really began to change her plans.
Ever since I could remember, I was really interested in missions and going overseas. And during college, I got the opportunity to go to Russia and got to share the gospel with college students. And it was incredible.
About 2 years ago, God began to give us this crazy idea of us going overseas. As God began to just really reveal himself, I knew that this was a new adventure for us and something that we could do some great ministry in.
A lot of people want to go on short-term missions, and that's great, but we're so excited that we're called to go long-term, and we know that God wants us to go to Berlin.
And a lot of people would ask the question, well, why Berlin, why Europe? And our first answer is that we really feel this is where God wants us to be. But then there's also a lot of opportunities in Berlin. Europe seems Christian in a lot of ways, because there's a lot of things that look Christian, but the message of the gospel is just not present among the people.
So we get to go to Berlin in 2014 and get to build relationships with Germans and immigrants and share the love of Christ with them.
And that's our initial step, is to build those relationships. But after that, it is going deeper and sharing the gospel and taking the gospel into those relationships.
And because Berlin is so diverse, as we reach this city, we'll get to reach Germany, Europe, and beyond. And we're so excited to see the gospel go forth in that way. We get to work with a team in Berlin, but we also need a team back here at home who can support us financially and through prayer. And we'd love you to be a part of that.
Yeah, so if you're interested in our ministry, you can visit our website, denniesonmission.com. There's a contact tab there that you can get all of our information. You can call our phone, you can email us, and we will be able to get in contact and set up an appointment.
We do have a donate button online, but we would really love to sit down with you one-on-one and share our vision for Berlin.
Well, we hope and pray that God would lead you to partner with us in ministry on a financial level. We also understand that not everybody can do that. But we would cherish your prayers as we go for the transition and going to a new culture, but also that we would be able to take the gospel to Berlin and see disciples come about that make disciples, and see Jesus spread throughout Europe. Well, good morning, Eagle Heights. My name is Jason, and here in a minute you'll get to meet my lovely wife, Rachel. We are so thankful to be able to be here and share with you guys today. First of all, we really have to begin by saying thank you. We have been in this process for almost 2 years. Like I said, 2 years is a long time in what we've been going through. But Eagle Heights, has been so good to us in so many ways, with encouragement, with prayer. And even as, we'll talk about this a little bit more later, but even as we are building a team to partner with us through prayer and finances, Eagle Heights has been our number one. As a church, but also as its church members. And so we cannot say thank you enough to Eagle Heights, but then we're also so excited that we get to partner with you in the gospel. And this is a partnership that could last, a lifetime. And just being able to go to Berlin, go to other parts of the world, and, serve Jesus with you. And do that through Eagle Heights. So we want to say thank you. Like I said, I do want to say one special thank you. Even this video here was done by someone, a member here at Eagle Heights, Ben Ehrlich. And Ben came to me and said, hey, I want to give you a gift. I want to give you a way to be able to just communicate in this modern age. And like I said, he did a phenomenal job with that video of just being a teaser to be able to get people to maybe interested in what we're doing, so we can have a conversation with them about where we're going, what we're doing. That video is on the front page of our website. So if you ever go to our website, after we get done today and you know someone that might be interested, send them to that website. They can get to know us, but then all of our information someone needs to know to be able to get in contact with us is there. So today what I want to do, and like I said, I'm going to be short, and I understand most pastors say that, but since Brent's already labeled the time, I kind of need to abide by it. But I promise you, I'm going to try and be short so Rachel can share, but then also that I'm real excited about the Q&A time. And we want to answer any questions that you guys have about missions, about us going, and different things like that. If you have your Bibles, open up to Matthew 28. And this morning, what I want to do is share with you kind of our theology on missions. It's not going to get super specific, but what it is we want to give you three core truths that we are basing our ministry on. Honestly, our ministry here, but if we come back and go to the States, this is an ideal. This is not just something that is built for missions, but it's something that we should all as believers be thinking about as we are going. We'll talk about that concept here in a minute. But this is something that all of us should be considering. And so, but then I also understand, Jason, you're standing up there as a missionary to be, and you're going to talk over the Great Commission, kind of stereotypical. I get that. But one thing I want us to understand is, and have this little precaution on, let's make sure we keep this in context and not just focus on verses 19 through 20. Great verses. And I don't want to step on top of those. But I think if we actually understand the context a little bit going into that, and then also tag it with verse 18, it means a lot more. Okay? And I mean, and we have a lot deeper understanding of what's going on. So let's get to the text. Starting in verse 16, we're going to go verse by verse. 16, it says, "But the 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had designated." Okay, stop there real quick. Just try and put yourself in the disciples' shoes. Okay? For the past 3.5 years, they've been walking with Jesus, seeing miracles, seeing these amazing things, loving this man that is their leader. Okay? And then obviously, we know what happens in him being, him being martyred, him being killed after that. What are you feeling right there? It cannot be a good feeling. Okay, I mean, I don't even think we can put into words how they are feeling. Everything that they've been preparing for 3.5 years, to them in ways is almost gone. Even though Jesus did say a lot of these things about how you're going to go before me and do greater things, at that point, that's kind of hard to understand, wouldn't you think? I mean, you're heartbroken. You are just downright sad. Probably like the Baylor Bears when they woke up this morning, huh? I got that one in. But still, worse than that, way worse than that. That was just a football game. This is life. These people are hurting. But, like I said, you have the 11 disciples. Why the 11? Obviously, Judas was one of them. Judas is no longer a part of them. And they haven't replaced Judas. We see in Acts 1:26 where they come and they sit down and say, hey, we need to replace Judas. I mean, they replace him with Matthias. So you have 11. And it says they go to Galilee. And I mean, and even the back end of the verse tells them why. It says, to the mountain which Jesus had designated. So really, there's two reasons I think they're going back to Galilee. First of all, Jesus told them to. I mean, we see that in Matthew 26:32. Jesus said, when I raise up, I will meet you in Galilee. I will go before you in Galilee. So they're like, okay, Jesus told us to do this. But there's also another concept we have to understand. The disciples are from Galilee. So what are they doing? They're kind of retreating. They're going back home. Okay? Tough things have happened. I mean, it's not, I mean, just think of this. I mean, when bad things happen, don't you want to go back to a comfort spot? Don't you want to go back to where that place that makes you feel comfortable? When you're sick, I'm almost 30. When I'm sick, I still want my mom, right? I mean, I want someone to take care of me. My wife does a phenomenal job. Sorry, I don't want to, I mean, but still, you want to go to that comfort spot. See how, took care of that one. Still, you want to go to your comfort spot whenever things are tough, correct? And that's what they're doing. They're going back home. So let's look in verse 17. It says, when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some were doubtful. You know what? A lot of scholars want to debate on this verse. I mean, and why they were doubtful, and all this stuff. The one thing, and like I said, I don't have the time, but the one thing we need to understand right here is that everything, just because Jesus showed back up, which obviously that was good, okay? And that was a great thing because, it meant he wasn't a liar. He did come back. They see him. But there was still some doubt. There was still some, this isn't the best situation. I mean, like I said, Jesus, this doesn't make sense. All these questions are going through them. And so, like I said, scholars want to say who was doubting, all this stuff. I don't have time to get into that. And I don't even know if I know. But the one thing we do know is Matthew is painting this picture and saying, hey, this isn't just perfect. When these guys see Jesus and Jesus begins to tell them the commands and all that stuff, these guys are still doubting. These guys are still struggling. These guys, are still wondering, and have questions about all that. It's not a Hallmark special ending or anything like that. These guys, are still hurting and still have a lot of questions. And so we have to understand that. These guys are going through this process. They see Jesus and they're like, Jesus. I mean, all these mixed emotions. Like I said, some worship, but then like I said, some were still doubtful. And that's one thing we have to consider. Let's go to verse 18 and we'll get into the three core truths. Verse 18, it says, and Jesus came up and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Okay? First thing Jesus says, he doesn't give them the command first, does he? And in verse 19 is the command, and we'll talk about that here in a second. But what he does is he sets the standard for the command. He gives them a little bit of reassurance, but then he also gives them the foundation for what you're going to go do. What if Jesus just come up and said, okay, guys, go out and do it? And these guys' hearts are hurting, and they have questions, all this stuff. But he says, you know what? Because of me, because of what I have done, you are going to go do. Jesus' entire ministry, entire life had been vindicated because of the resurrection. And Jesus is reminding them and saying, hey, the gospel, what I have done, my saving grace, what I have come in and portrayed on the cross is the reason you can go do. And that's what you're going to go speak about. Okay? So this is the first thing Jesus says. He says, because of me, because of what I've done, you're going to be able to go and do it. So our first truth, and the first thing we always want to hang our hat on, is the gospel. Because of Jesus, we can go do ministry. And because of Jesus, that is the ministry that we're going to go do, no matter where we're at. Okay, Rachel and I mean, we get the question a lot of like, well, how long, what are you going to go do? And I mean, and like I said, we consider a lot of those things. But the one thing that we do know is we want to our ministry to be about the gospel and people coming to know Jesus. Okay, so like I said, and that's where I'm getting the point that this transcends all of us. This isn't just a missionary or a pastor or anything. This is something that all of us should be focused, our lives, our ministries, our efforts on the gospel and helping people come to know Jesus. Okay, let's get to 19. 19, it says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. Okay, but like I said, this is the popular point. This is the one that, I mean, you hear with a lot of mission groups, and I'm not saying that's wrong. But the one thing we have to understand, what is the command? What is the command in this verse? A lot of times we want to say go. Going is a part of it, but going is not the command. The command is to make disciples of all nations. Okay, this is what Jesus is telling him. But if you think about this for the disciples, this was a huge concept. Why? Christianity was only among the Jews at that time and really kind of only stirring. And for him to sit there and say, yeah, go and make disciples, that would have been okay, still kind of difficult. But go make disciples of all nations, that means you're going to have to talk to other people. You're going to have to talk to other groups. You're going to have to allow this to spread. And those guys, you know what? That's not that easy of a concept for them. So where the going part comes into is obviously this verb, whenever you get it in there, is actually as you are going. It's not sitting there saying, go to the other nations. It is as you are going, make disciples of all nations. So what does that say? What does that say about the form of going? Yes, some people are going to go overseas. And you know what? And I think as Christians, we should all be focused, I mean, and have an international focus or an overseas or I mean some other context than our own. I think we should have that focus. But that's not it. I mean, he is saying, as you are going, living your daily life, you should be about making disciples. Okay? That could be across the street. That could be across the classroom. That could be across your living room. Okay? But this transcends all Christians. All of us should be about making disciples. I love it when I see parents that, I mean, as they're raising their kids, I mean, they talk about, I mean, how they're raising their kids. And they're like, I want to help my kid to know how to be a disciple of Christ. That's awesome that they are obeying this command. I mean, like I said, and you go to coffee shops all over Stillwater and you see guys, two guys meeting together, two girls meeting together, and you see them helping each other. Okay. We see when we have Alpha the Lamb to Mu on Friday mornings. That's about making disciples. And so are so many other ministries here in our church. But that should be our goal. It's not just going. It's about making disciples. And that's something that God has stuck in Rachel and I for a long time. As we've been going through this kind of up and down period of where do we go, what do? The main thing that God has said is, I want you to be in a place where you can make disciples. Okay? Make disciples. And that's something that we want to be about. So let's get to the last one. I'll wrap up. Midway through there through 20, it says, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Okay, Jesus has given them the standard, given them, I mean, the message, given them all that they need there, and then this is how you're going to do it. Okay, and then lastly, he says, you know what, you're not going to do it alone. I'm going to be with you, and lo, I'm with you always, even until the end of the age. What does that mean, even until the end of the age? The thing we have to understand is that the ministry there is going to continue way beyond us. But it continued, I mean, it started way before us. But it's just this idea that the continual work of the Holy Spirit is going to be with us. If you are a Christian, you have the Holy Spirit within you. And the Holy Spirit can lead you and guide you and direct you. And that is who we need to follow. Our ministry shouldn't be built on us, shouldn't be built on our ideas, but on the leading of the Holy Spirit. And you know what? God has given us gifts and God has given us ideas and God has given us sometimes some leading or just skills that we can use in ministry. But if we aren't being led by the Spirit, if we aren't, I mean, listening to Him, honestly, we aren't doing what we're supposed to. And that's where Rachel and I are, our philosophy in going is, you know what, we have some ideas while we're going on the field. And we really feel that that's where God's leading us. But you know what, if we get on the field and He completely changes it, we're okay. Because we're following Him. And I stand up here and say that, like, hey, that's the easiest concept in the world. No, it's not. I mean, and I want to end by just kind of sharing you my story. My story began working here at Eagle Heights. Been here for about 5.5 years as a student minister. Absolutely loved it. And honestly, I mean, I say that honestly. My time at Eagle Heights in the student ministry was the best. And even working there for 5.5 years, I mean, I didn't want to leave. This is the place I wanted to stay for a long time and do ministry. So things were great. At the end of 2010, beginning of 2011, I got engaged to Rachel. And that's when God began to kind of change some things and begin to change my heart, but then also just kind of begin to throw this message to me. Hey, I want you to consider doing something different. He's like, I know your heart's in ministry. I mean, or in student ministry, but I want you to consider doing something different. And I'll be honest, my flat out answer was nah. No. God, everything that I wanted and everything that I had seen and everything that, I mean, I had built it the way I wanted to. Not that I wasn't listening to God, but everything was perfect in my eyes. But so for really about 5 months, I know that's a long time, but really for about 5 months, I wrestled with God back and forth. This whole idea, and I was like, God, I gave him every reason. I love student ministry. I mean, I just gotten married. Do you really think I could tell someone, like, right before I got married, hey, I think we're going to go overseas? I mean, that could throw a kink in things, right? I mean, all these things in my mind were just going crazy. But God just like, hey, I got this. And finally, after about five and a half months, I began to listen. And we were at a camp. I was at a camp with students. And that entire week, just wrestled with God. And came away from that camp wrecked, really. And knew that, honestly, didn't like the idea, didn't like the concept, but I needed to come home and share it with my wife, Rachel, and see what God was doing in her. And like I said, and you'll see through her side of the story, whenever I began to hear where she was at, God began to really lead me. And I allowed God to lead me. Through this entire process. So I want to welcome Rachel up and let her share.
So I like when Jason says, and he got engaged, and dun, dun, dun. But no, it's once we got engaged, I got on the phone with one of my best friends to tell her the news, and she, not far into it, she says, okay, Rachel, I know Jason wants to do youth ministry for 20 years or however long he can. And I know that you want to go overseas and do missions. So how's that working? Like, how's that going to work out? And I didn't know what to say. So but I knew I had to pray about it. So I just asked the Lord, like, please help me understand, is this my desire to go overseas and do missions? Or is this your desire that you've placed in me? So I prayed for 3 months. While we were engaged, and as I prayed, I just got more excited about partnering with Jason in youth ministry and getting to go overseas with the youth on short-term trips, getting to help them understand the need of going and opportunity, and that not everyone has the gospel, not everyone gets to go to church. And so I was just so excited. So Jason comes back from Super Summer and tells me that God has been working on his heart and talking to him, and that we're supposed to go overseas. I was floored. Because my plan was, okay, we're going to do 20 years of youth ministry or plus, and then we'll retire, and then we'll go overseas. And it's going to be a great time, but I was just so excited. I didn't have words, really, but we like to share that because God was working in my life, and God was working in Jason's life. And it wasn't my idea, and it wasn't Jason's idea. It was God's idea. And so we are just so thankful for how he did that. And that helps when we have a rough week. It's like God is orchestrating this. So also I want to just back up just a little and say thank you to Eagle Heights. My family started coming here when I was in seventh grade, about 13. And then when I was 16, I got to go to Falls Creek. And during that summer, I committed to missions and ministry. And the way y'all have invested in my life has just been tremendous. And it's a huge part of why I'm going and where I am now. And so I just want to say thank you so much. And God bless you all. Thank you. So we're going to do questions, and we'll try our best to answer.
Okay, first question is, what are you most excited about / fearful about going to Berlin? I'll let Rachel share the excited part. I'll share the fearful part.
I have a list. I'm so So excited. I'm excited about learning language. It'll be tough probably, but getting out of our comfort zone, culture, like meeting all these when we got to go to Berlin, I was just so blown away by the diversity of the people. People from Africa, Asia, Turkey, you name it. And so getting to build relationships with the people of the city and learning the culture and getting into really funny, awkward situations, it's going to be a great time.
Pretty much everything she said is the reason I'm fearful. And it's funny how God has really placed us together, because the things that she's excited about are the things that I'm tense about, and then vice versa. So I mean, obviously learning a new language is going to be trying, but I'm having a good attitude about it. And honestly, so far it's not too bad. But and then the meeting new people and meeting new different cultures is just something I haven't been around. I mean, then you're like, you're going on the mission field. And I was like, yeah, I know. I told God that one too, but he didn't seem to care. But it really is. It's so that idea is something that she is so excited about. For me, it is a little different, but I mean, you know, God is leading us through this. I mean, and he is going to take care of us, and he's going to provide for us. So next question. 1, 2, 3. There we go. Okay. Is there a missions organization you are working with abroad? And if so, what kind of work have they done previously in Europe?
We're going with Greater Europe Mission, and they've been around for over 40 years. After World War II, they set up the organization because the guy who started it, he was a soldier, and when he was over there, he just saw in Europe there weren't seminaries, there weren't places for adults mainly to learn how to teach the Bible, to preach, to... So that's how it got started, but now the organization has moved to discipleship, multiplication, and we'll talk a little bit more about that. But that's what they did at the beginning when they started, and then in the past 7 years, they've really changed to discipleship, multiplication.
It's really helped me with an organization that's been around for 40 years. I mean, in doing ministry for 40 years, because, I mean, they know, I mean, that they have enough experience. Now, that's not saying they're perfect in it at all, but... I mean, that they have the experience to something that we can really rely on. Next question. Jason, when you refer to God speaking to you, was it more of a feeling of the Holy Spirit's guidance or a direction from the Word? How is it that you could discern that God was speaking to you? I would probably pair it up with both, but I mean, the main thing is just, I mean, God, mostly God, the Holy Spirit's guidance is leading me to this idea. Because like I said, I had everything planned out over here. And so the beginning of it wasn't so much, I mean, it was the idea of missions, but it was mostly this idea of being able to release myself from just doing student ministry. I mean, I think is what it led to. And then as I begin to do that, God began to really change my heart. And I mean, and not that I don't have a desire for student ministry, not at all, I still do, but that God began to open up my heart a little bit more to the ideas of working with internationals. I mean, working in a different context, working and doing that type of stuff. So it wasn't it wasn't just this really clear-cut thing. It was kind of a process, but whenever I really began to give in, honestly, the molding of my heart happened whenever I said, okay, God, I'll obey. I mean, and from that point, God, and he's still doing it. Like I said, it still scares me to work in an international context, but I mean, I know that's something that God's going to begin, and he's already doing. I'm loving learning about the German culture and even the Turkish culture, which, I mean, there's a lot of Turkish people in Berlin that we were hopefully maybe be able to work with. So, you have used the word gospel pretty frequently. If you had to summarize the gospel, what would you say that is? You want it? Or you want me to take it? Okay. Thanks. But see, I'm sitting over with my pastor over here that's going to examine me later on. Honestly, the gospel, and I won't say the gospel to me, but just simplifying it is, we have God the Creator and we have man, and we know that. I mean, in Genesis, that relationship was fractured because of sin, and so all throughout the Old Testament, there was this idea of trying to get man back to God, but Jesus came, died for the sins of man, that allows a relationship to be made right with God through Christ's righteousness, not through man's works. And so if someone puts their faith in Christ, I mean, and that is to not just say a prayer, but say that, you know what, God, I can't do this, but I need your help, that they would place their faith in God, that the Holy Spirit comes and directs them, guides them, and enters them to the point, God, where they can live a life after God and begin doing ministry and beginning living for Him. So, Graydon, you guys, I got a thumbs up. Good. Yeah, we'll talk later. Thank you. It's one of those, I'll call you in my office later. So, next question. Can you tell us a little bit more about what your ministry looks like here in Stillwater? What is something that has challenged you the most, and how do you deal with it?
Great question. Right now, we're doing full-time support raising to be able to be fully funded. We have to raise all of our money to be able, all the money we need to live on, to be able to go. And so support raising, at first, you think, is that ministry? It really is. It's incredible because it stretches you in some really kind of challenging ways sometimes. But we get to meet with people and we get to share what God's doing in our lives and what He's shown us He wants to do in Berlin, and how they get to be a part of that. And that's just incredible. Is like the video, like we get to go, but we get to go and take a lot of people with us, not exactly walking on their feet, but we get to partner with people, and that's incredible. And just to know that you can go without actually hopping on a plane, it's just so exciting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, good job. I mean, because it really is us. Is because of people's efforts and people partnering with us, disciples are going to be made in Berlin. And so, I mean, that's really the way we look at it. It is a partnership. It's not just, hey, here's some money, you guys go and have fun type stuff. No, it's people wanting to be centered on making disciples in Berlin along with us, and that because of their efforts, because of their commitment, I mean, that we're able to do that, I mean, and them come alongside us.
And so, I would just add that Jason gets to disciple quite a few guys right now, and I'm really encouraged to see you get to do that. And I'm working a little, so, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, will you be partnering with Christian churches that are already established in Berlin? If not, what will you be doing differently than what they are doing? Really good question. And this is, it's kind of a twofold answer. One of the things that God's brought us the idea of, obviously we're going to Berlin, so what's the major population? Germans, which the majority of them are atheists, to the point where it's about 1% to 2% of the German population is actually evangelical Christian. Now, some of them might call themselves Protestant or Lutheran. And the only problem is most of those churches there aren't preaching the gospel, and even people aren't committed to Christ in a way that we would consider being a follower of Christ. So you have that group, but then you have about 10% of their population being the Turkish, which the majority of those are Muslims. And so the idea of doing ministry, we can't initially begin with both of them. And the main reason is because of the cultural differences, but then also there are no Turkish churches. Okay, there are no Turkish evangelical churches. So, I mean, to say, hey, we find someone, share the gospel with them, and we want to help them come alongside this church, there are no churches. And we're not going to send them to a German church where they're kind of seen as outsiders. There's a cultural barrier there that we can't break. I mean, Jesus could break, but I mean, right now, it's not been done. People there, the Turkish people and the German people don't really get along. So if we work with the Turkish, we will begin to start our own churches through small groups. And beginning to do that. If it's working with the Germans, if we can find a church to be able to come alongside, not to take over, we will do that. But we want to be careful about how we're doing that. We don't want to just go and pair up with anybody. We have a style in ministry that we want to keep to and go about. So actually, can I do something? I didn't do this in the first service, and hey, I mean, this is our last time to share, so we might as well try something. I want to illustrate something just kind of how our ministry is going to work, okay? I mean, and then just a simple thing, but I do need two volunteers, and I know this is so youth ministry of me, but hey, I'm going to put Stephen and Allie.
Okay? Thank you for volunteering.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for volunteering. I'm so glad. All right, Stephen, you stand over here on this aisle. Allie, you stand right over there in front of that aisle, okay? Allie, here in a second, when I say go, I want you to go just get one person and bring them up here with you, okay? Stephen, I want you to do the same. So, yeah, both of you guys go grab somebody from the crowd. Yeah, this is crowd participation, I know. Okay, there you go. All right, so we'll get to explaining it a little bit better here in a second, okay? So now, Stephen, I want you to go get one person. Jordan, you stay there, okay? Both of you go get somebody. Yeah, the front rows are really going to start clearing out, so. Good you sit in the back, huh? It's another, yeah. All right, we're going to go round three. Stephen, get one. You guys stay put. All of you guys go get one person. Did everybody get one? Oh, he's still searching for somebody. There we go. All right, we'll go one more round. Stephen, get one. All of you guys go find one person and bring him up here with you. Nobody got the pastor? It should be the guinea pig. Okay. Obviously, we can see what happened, and I won't make you guys stand up here long, but we can see what happened. This style of ministry was really just going and doing, and honestly, what we would say, probably just a level of going and sharing your faith, and then, like I said, maybe them accepting Christ, but then maybe stopping there. This over here is the whole idea of reproducing yourself, okay? And obviously, we keep going rounds and rounds and rounds. Everybody's going to be getting up, but this is the style of ministry that we want to follow. We want to go past the level of just sharing the gospel, but making disciples, but teaching them to do the same, okay? It might be a little bit longer time. We understand that. But the end all of it is we have people who are mature Christians who can go and do the same thing. So we are reproducing ourselves. So you guys have a seat.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you for your willing/unwilling participation. That's something that's really important to us. It's just this idea of making disciples that goes past just the idea of just going and sharing the gospel. And I don't want to discount people that are in a widespread evangelism type of ministry. Don't want to discount it at all. This is just what God has really placed on our heart, is that we want to begin to work with people. And how that happens is us getting in relationship with people. But really, our ministry is going to begin with Rachel having one person and I having one person, and us discipling them and teaching them to do the same. But then what happens is once what happens once that multiplication just gets going rapidly and rapidly and rapidly, you can see the widespread. The widespread happens, but it's still on that deep level. I mean, and that is something that we are excited about. I mean, and something to the point where really we want to be in one location in Berlin for about 5 to 7 years. And we say that number, we don't know that exactly, but based on what we've seen from strategies and things based on that model, we want to get to where it is sustainable, to where the local people are actually doing the ministry, us helping them out, helping getting that multiplication going. So you know what we can do? We can pack up and go, somewhere else and do the same. Berlin's large enough. It's got 3.5 million people, and it's growing. We probably won't ever outgrow Berlin, but we could outgrow the neighborhood. We could outgrow the area so that we can actually go and continue doing that. So wanted to show that. We'll take one more question. It's a good one. How can Eagle Heights pray for you best now, before you go, and after you have gone to Berlin? You want to do before?
Before we go, we get to go to training at the end of January for 6 weeks. So that's going to be really good. But pray for us during that time. And we're at 80% monthly commitment, and we have to be 100% to go. So if you would continue to pray for us to get fully funded, that would be awesome.
And as we're there, and just the biggest thing is just going and assimilating. I mean, obviously finding places to live and stuff like that, but also just beginning to meet people and then learning language. Language is going to be our first main step that we take in getting, because that's going to help us in so many ways in getting to know the culture and getting to know the people. Learning language, but also just assimilating once we get there, and that, honestly, God would begin to lead people to us, because we understand, yes, we can reach out, but it's also God bringing people to us in ways that we can begin to do the ministry.
So. And just one quick other thing. This is hard on our families. So if you could pray for our families, that would be awesome.
Yeah. And this time of the year, obviously you could spend a lot of time with family, but that would be good. And even as we begin to leave in the spring, we'll have good time with our families. And we say that our families are very supportive of what we're doing, super supportive, and they're happy and they're on board. But, just the idea of of not, I mean, we live with her parents, and then, I mean, my parents live about an hour and a half away, so it's going to be a little bit bigger distance, I mean, after that once we move. So, but I want to end by doing this, is just by kind of challenging you guys and letting you know how you can partner with us and or how we can help you. First of all, I do want to say this, is if there's someone out there, because God's not just working in us, I promise you that. I know God's working in multiple people with this idea of going overseas, of going and doing this. If God's doing that, listen, okay? I promise you, I know I didn't listen for a long time, and I wish I would have, but also, we would love to talk with you. We would love to sit down and encourage you, help you. I mean, I already had a conversation out in the hall with someone that said, hey, this is something that I've been thinking about, just to encourage you. Because, I mean, now we don't have all the answers, and we're not experts on missions. But God is beginning to work in us in a way that we would love to be able to talk with you and encourage and help people be on board with going. Because, guys, it is kind of scary, but there's some very exciting things, and there are some awesome opportunities across the world to be able to go and do what we're doing. Okay. Also, we would love for you guys to pray for us. And what we have a few resources. We'll be back there in the back, and we have a little prayer card that has a picture of us. But, I mean, we would love for you guys to take one of those cards and put it somewhere that you can continually pray for us. We need that. I mean, and we know Eagle Heights is already there praying for us, but, I mean, if you would like to do that, we would love for you to be able to join us in that. And also, on that card is our website and even my email address. If you would like to get email updates, that's going to be our main way of communication, is a monthly newsletter. We are going to update people with what's going on. If you would like to get on board with that, you can go to the website. There's a subscribe link. Click on that, and just put in your information. Don't worry. We're not going to sell your email addresses. I guess if funding gets low, we could. I'm joking. No, it's not that way at all. But we want to be able to communicate well with you. Yes, being able to get connected through the website is usually the best. And or person, you can also contact the office anyway. We want to be able to help you in that. We do also want to say, if God is leading you, and I truly mean this, God is leading you to partner with us on a financial level, we would love to talk with you. And our whole philosophy on that is we don't want someone, sitting out there that feels sorry for us, so they want to give. That's a bad reason to give, I'll be honest. We want it because God is leading people to give, okay? And so we want to give people that opportunity, but if God's not leading you in that direction, you know what, that's perfectly fine. We want people that, God is asking them, and it is an act of obedience for them to be able to give and join us in ministry. We are looking for monthly supporters to try and fill up our monthly budget. And like I said, we have about $1,500 a month left. And so, that can break down to about 20 people. If God is leading that way, I don't want to categorize anybody. But if you're interested in that and you would like to talk more with us, like I said, we will be here and we will stay until they turn the lights out. And I even have keys, so we can stay after they turn the lights out. But we would love to be able to just chat with you guys and encourage you guys as much as we can, because you guys have done so much for us. And we are so excited about the idea of partnering with Eagle Heights to take the gospel to Berlin. So let me pray for us. Gracious God, you are holy, you are mighty, and Lord, we are so thankful for that. And God, we are thankful for the gospel and what Jesus accomplished on the cross. We wouldn't be sitting here without that. And God, let us be reminded of that each day, God, of what you have done and who you are. But Lord, thank you so much for Eagle Heights, that they are a going and sending church, but God, that they won't ever let their guard down, that they will continue to be a going and sending congregation of believers that want to love and serve you, God. And so we thank you for that. God, we pray for each person out there that, God, you make it obvious of the situations in their life, God, of them making disciples and them going beyond comfort zones, God, to truly listen to that command and be about going. So, Lord, we thank you so much for today. In Christ's name, I pray. Amen.
Rachel and Jason, thank you, guys. Grateful to be a part of what God is doing in you all. I was just reflecting, growing up, I've gone to a church all my life, and I've been a part of a Baptist church all my life in some way or another, and was remembering that during missions month or missions time, we would have missionaries come to our church. But I don't recall one time ever, even the thought or the asking of someone from our church to consider going, or even thinking that was remotely a possibility. I just thought that was strange people that came from strange planets or other places that decided they were going to go on mission. And so here we are, we're Eagle Heights Baptist Church, and no glory to us. But we get to be a part. We're sending. And I recently saw on Facebook somebody posted a little quote, and it said this: you're either sending or going or sinning. And that's true, because Jesus, as Jason has laid out for us, told us to be a Great Commission people. And just as the church of Antioch in Acts chapter 13, they sent Paul and Barnabas. Not the whole church went. We're not going to send all of Eagle Heights to Berlin, Germany. But we are a part of being a sending people. And we pray and we give, and some of us go. And so I just would ask you to stand with me now. Just ask yourself, Lord, what do you want to do through me? How might I be a part of this process so that I can bring glory to you, that I might have joy, and that I might avoid sinning? So maybe you want to participate in just giving to Eagle Heights Mission Fund. And that's one of the ways we support Jason. We've supported him very generously, and we support others. So just ask yourself, God, what do you want to do through me? As Ryan and the team lead us in response.